Hi, this is Hattie Hart with the Anonymous S Project, and today we have three stories. The first from a donor-conceived person, the second from an adopted person, and the third from a woman who is carrying currently a donor-conceived child. The first story is called My Story. My mom told me in a Mexican restaurant when I was 18. The whole time she was apologizing for what she was about to say to me, and I honestly thought she was going to tell me that she had cancer or something. Once she turned that down, I began to play a guessing game, asking anything that came to mind. I hated surprises, and the fact that she was nervous made me nervous, so I just needed to guess what it was while also attempting to lighten the mood. Through my guessing game, I playfully asked, "Am I adopted?" expecting to get a much different response. Instead, she said, "Well, you're getting warmer." She told me that her and my father waited too long to have a kid. When they started trying, she had already stopped ovulating. The two of them danced around the subject of adoption, but in the end, didn't want to get caught up in the law and battles with the biological parents. They decided on IVF and donor conception. After getting an egg donor and testing my father's sperm, they found out he had a low sperm count. The only way to have a successful pregnancy was to be inseminated with donor sperm. However, my dad still wanted to be a father, so they included his sperm as well as the donor sperm. From this, my twin brother and I were born. While there was no question of who was the father of my brother, because my dad and him are practically the same person, they weren't sure if my dad was my biological dad. A few weeks later, my dad and I took a paternity test, which I never thought I would ever do. I used to hear stories of donor conception and think, "Wow, that sucks. I'm glad I would never have to go through that." Then, lo and behold. My mom thought she was doing me a favor, telling me at the time she did, since I was learning about it in college. However, that just made it worse. Hearing about donor-conceived people really reinforced my current family structure, and then days later, it was ripped away from me. Anyway, after a few more weeks, the test results came back negative. My dad wasn't my biological father. I didn't know what to think. I didn't even cry right away. I just called my dad and told him he will always be my father, no matter what. This day turned out to be the worst day of my life. I was in a haze. I had to go to work and put on a mask for everyone. There was no one there I could talk to about this, and there was no one that would understand. I only knew one person who was related to me, and that was my twin brother, who is now my half-brother. My identity had faltered. I didn't know who I was, and I still don't. Things got easier until I began to get really sick. Before I found out I was donor-conceived, I was battling anemia and vitamin deficiencies, in addition to having fainting spells and stomach pains. The vitamins made it better, but all of a sudden, I went back to my normal sick self. I lost 10 to 15 pounds, and I am already underweight to begin with. I began feeling faint, shaky, nauseous. I couldn't eat. My doctors tested me for celiac disease, which came back positive. I most likely inherited it from one of my donors. This was a huge scare for me. It made me fear what else I might have inherited. It makes me sick that I have to rely on 20-year-old papers to tell me what is in my genes. It is also disgusting that either the donors failed to update their medical information, or that the banks refused to give new information to me. This is my health and my livelihood we are talking about. My life now consists of constant struggles and fears. I look in the mirror and don't know where I got my almond-shaped eyes, my pouty lower lip, my small ears. And even though I have my brother and some pictures of other half-siblings to compare myself to, it starts to become a blur and a complicated task to compare my physique to them, since we only share half of our genes. This is the hardest part. Realizing I will never get my identity back. Our next story is called Who Am I? I was born in Texas. I was my birth mother's 8th child. She gave away 4 and kept 4. I was part of the 4 that were given up. I was adopted right from birth. My mom had a brain tumor at the age of 16, and they had to remove her pituitary gland. She is blind in her right eye and has no peripheral vision. After her surgery, the doctors told her that she could not have kids. That's all my mom wanted was kids. She told me that she told God that she'd dedicate her life to children. My mom and dad had adopted a little boy, and after 3 months, his birth mother came back and took him away from them. My mom was absolutely crushed. They then applied to another adoption agency and soon got the call about me being born. My mom flew out to Texas to get me. My dad was in college at the time and had a lot of tests he couldn't miss but came the next day. My parents were always open and honest when I asked questions when I was little. They didn't hide anything at all, which is great. My mom always told me, "You didn't grow in my belly, you grew in my heart." I kind of understood that when I was little, but when I was 10, I really understood it. Every time I think about her saying that, I just cry. I don't know why I do. When I was 13 or 14, I started asking more questions, and my dad did some research and told me everything he could. I've been in therapy since I was 14 or 15. When we were in a family session, they had told me that my birth mother died 4 years ago. Right then and there, my life stood still. I eventually wanted to contact her and just ask her, why? Why did you do this? Why me? Why not a different 4? And now I really can't find out answers. About a month ago, I was sitting in with a new psychologist, and we brought up the whole adoption thing, and the woman asked if my parents were still alive. My birth parents. My dad proceeded to say, "All we know is that she was murdered." And then I was like, "Wait, what?" And he didn't realize what he had said. And then once again, I had a million questions. Who would do that? Why did they do that? I've just decided to leave it alone, because I have the best family anyone can ask for. And I'm so grateful, because if I hadn't gotten adopted, my life right now could have been absolute hell. Well, thanks for letting me share my story with you. Smiley face. And our next story is called Pregnant with a Donor Baby and Feeling Scared. I am 28 weeks pregnant with a donor baby. It's been a long journey to get here, and I can't quite believe that this pregnancy may actually come to fruition. However, I do have a few concerns. I am worried that I won't be able to bond with my baby girl. I am worried that my family will not treat her like one of their own. I am worried that she will look nothing like either myself or my husband, but will have inherited only her genetic mother's looks. I am worried about the day I will tell my little girl that she came from another woman but grew in my tummy. I am worried that my little girl will grow up wondering who this other woman is and want to meet her one day. I also feel really sad that my history won't be her history. Both of my parents are dead, and if they were still alive, I would refer to them as Grandma and Granddad. But if one day she sees photos of them, I will refer to them as my mom and dad. I have so many things belonging to them, and things that I grew up with that they gave to me that I would want to pass on, but this sounds awful. I feel I would rather give these things to my nephews and niece at the moment because they are born of my blood. Don't get me wrong. I am very grateful for the opportunity to become a mother. The alternative was either adoption or a child-free life. This little girl in my tummy has provided us with the chance to be parents, and at the moment we are enjoying looking at pushchairs, cots, and planning what her nursery will look like. And we love it. At least she has a genetic link to my husband, which I am not jealous of, but really grateful for. I do feel scared, but at the same time secure, in the knowledge that I will finally be a mother. I feel scared of myself more than anything. I think if there are any complications with bonding, relationships after she is born, that it will be me who is the problem, due to all of my insecurities. But it's a journey I'm happy to make. I do feel a huge sense of loss at not being able to have my own flesh and blood. I have had two miscarriages in the past with my own eggs, and I have kept the scan photos. I look at them occasionally and cry, because I wonder who they would have been and what they would have looked like. But then I remind myself that I am not the only woman in this position, and think about how lucky I am to be pregnant with a little girl. I just hope that I don't fail her. Those are all our stories today, but I thought I'd share with you a very short poem, it's about a sentence long, by a poet named Warsons Shire. She's a British Somali poet that I have always loved and I'm a huge fan of. And when I read this poem, it really, really struck me. And I just thought that even though she is not a donor-conceived person, that this might resonate with other donor-conceived people. She says, "I have my mother's mouth and my father's eyes. On my face, they are still together." I just want to say thank you for writing in and submitting your stories, and being brave enough to share your experiences with us. So keep doing that, please. I'm Hattie Hart, and this is the Anonymous Us Project.